Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. This is not the host and founder, Stacey Emery. This is whom she affectionately refers to as her partner in crime and success, Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. I am joined tonight by our special show host, Miss Sherry Darden, who you're used to hearing as our business plan lady. She's just awesome and phenomenal, and she's joining me as a co-host tonight. But before we bring her online, want to just welcome you and thank you for joining in with us. Tonight we have a great show lined up and discussion. You might want to call it a girl talk or chit chat, as we're talking about the characteristics of a successful woman and just today's events. But if you tuned in with us last week, you caught the show where we talked about part two of The Go-Giver, and we had a special guest, Bob Berg, author and speaker, and he was the co-author of that book, and we just had a really, really great discussion, a really fun time. He was on previously and sharing about just what's involved in being a go-giver and how you really get more by giving. Just a great show. You definitely want to check out the replay if you missed it. And you can find that at mindshifttalkradio.com. So without further ado, because as women are often referred to, we can be chatty and really talkative and just kind of want to jump in to tonight's discussion. But I would like to allow Sherry to say hello to everyone. And let me imitate my phenomenal host. Happy Mind Shift Monday, Sherry.
Happy Mind Shift Monday to you as well. How are you?
Thank you. I am. Oh, wait. I got to use my regular. I got to be in my sis mode. Can't call it player. You know, I'm just trying to make it do what it do. How's it hanging with you?
I don't know if I can sip that well. I wasn't prepared for that, but I am doing phenomenal. I'm happy to be here with you to be your guest co-host and to talk about today's events and you know what? It's okay to be chatty, so we can be as chatty as we want. So it's Monday.
And I am so happy to have you, baby. If I had your hand, I'd turn mine in. I'm gonna have to work on me some more jargon. So how was your weekend?
My weekend was good. You know, had some travels on the road doing some training, and so I came back Saturday and I did what anybody would do when they've got thousands of miles on them from traveling from city to city. I slept, I got up, went to the grocery store, got a massage, and came back home. So it was awesome.
Now that's what I'm talking about, except for that grocery store piece. Something about
that.
Only
because I was hungry.
I don't blame you. That's real smart of you. I'd have been in somebody's restaurant. So how has your week started off?
Week has started off really great. You know, we're talking back and forth to my sister because, of course, you know, today is a holiday. Actually, it's a holiday for two reasons that we're going to talk about. And she was busy running around, and I was like, you know, are you watching the inauguration? So I had a really good time watching the inauguration, had a little less fun listening to all of the stuff because they felt like if there was anything that was their airways, they had to say something. So I had to kind of wean that out. But it was a really good inauguration. Really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, as did I. Whew. Did you think you'd see this day?
No.
Yeah.
No. I did not, and I tell you what's even more phenomenal is I didn't think I would see it two terms. You know, I remember 4 years ago I was teaching at the college, and because it was a momentous occasion, we kind of shut down everything, and they had TVs in some of the training rooms and stuff, and I remember everybody standing around looking at the inauguration. I said, you know what, I don't care if I'm not professional. You know, I cried like a baby. And as things began to, you know, progress through his 4 years and all that good stuff, and the very first debate, I said, okay, this is going to be a one-term brother. So did I think I would, you know, after I got over the shock of having our first black president, and the two-term really, really pleasantly surprised me. But he made history again.
He did. Do you think it was a coincidence that today, on his inauguration, that it was the same day as Martin Luther King Jr. Day?
No. No. I think everything has a purpose. You know, did I think about it, you know, when he won the election, of saying, oh, you know what, Inauguration Day is also going to be on Martin Luther King Day. But no, and I think this is a great way for the naysayers to take heed of, you know, we can only control so much. And so, you know, whether you like it, God's got a plan, and this is it. This was a really phenomenal day. It was almost like the moon and the sun and the stars all aligning at the same time of having our first African-American president be sworn in on Martin Luther King's birthday. I think it was awesome. I don't know if you saw his sister was in the audience. Martin Luther King's sister was in the audience.
Oh, no, I didn't see her.
Yeah, there's a picture floating around on Facebook of her, you know, sitting there smiling, and, yeah, she was front and center for the occasion, so I thought that was awesome.
Oh, wonderful. I'm here in Atlanta tonight, and today, of course, we had our King festivities, and his daughter, Bernice King, hosted those, so saw a lot of the King family at those festivities today, and that was really great to watch and enjoy. But I think today is kind of a reality check and testament. Of course, in his infamous "I Have a Dream" speech,
yeah.
we pull out all kind of quotes and saying, but one that still resonates with me is he says, but 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languishing in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land.
Now, who wrote this? Or
Dr. Martin Luther King. That's in his "I Have a Dream" speech.
And I tell you, I guess why I'm laughing is because it seems somewhat profound today. You know, because what struck me was talking about the poverty. You know, we do have a little bit of poverty here, even in the midst of all the materialism. You know, we've got the TVs, we've got the iPhones, and all that good stuff. But you know, we are still in poverty in a lot of ways. So very profound.
Mentally and financially, but more so as a mindset. But I just think it speaks volumes about our nation that can elect a black man as president and then reelect him as president for a second term. I'm sure things aren't where we would want them to be necessarily, but we have made leaps and bounds to be able to unite in that front, because, you know, it's clearly more than a race issue, because even had you taken every black voter in the country, he still would not have won or been reelected. So I just think it's phenomenal. And I know we give the U.S. a really hard time and we expect perfection, but I think it's kudos to our nation for having done that.
I do too. I just, one of the things that you know, sometimes we forget to pray for our nation, because, you know, we pray for our families, you know, we pray for, you know, our own financial status and all that good stuff. And sometimes we kind of blink and say, talk about world peace, but one of the things I truly, truly hope is that, sadly, as I was looking at Facebook and the Huffington Post posted a picture of the First Lady and our president doing their first dance and asking how did they like about, you know, what did they think about her dress, and just some of the really ugly things that came out and that had nothing to do with his ability as a president, but, you know, unfortunately, these were things of surface level, and I just really, really, really hope that that during his second term that we can kind of get over the little buffoonery that we're doing, because it's almost like we're children, as if, you know, if you aren't going to give me that black marble, then I'm going to keep all of the six silver marbles, and if you don't give me that one, we're going to do that, and, you know, we've got people really, really, really suffering at this point in time, so I'm hoping this is a momentous occasion that will get us on the right track, you know, because we've got a lot of people that are hurting in a lot of ways, but that's why it's the business plan, lady. I'm like, you know what? If you can't find a job, you make your own. You make your own business. So I'm hoping to at least be able to take that little bit of negativity and turn it into a positive spin. But
awesome. You know, they say the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just change your mindset.
So what
did you think of Miss Michelle today?
I was about to say, speaking of President Obama, let's talk about the First Lady. Oh, my gosh, just grace and elegance and poise and beauty, like just beauty. I loved her. I think she is a great representation of a first lady, of the wife of our nation's leader. I think she is phenomenal. What did you think?
I thought she was phenomenal. You know, again, we kind of think about, you know, they dissected all day about, you know, she's got her new bangs, you know, so that's been hitting the world, news about her new bangs and, you know, whether they liked her clothes and all that good stuff together. And I just think she, like you said, is just somebody of such grace. You know, I don't know that I could do that. You know, she married a man not realizing that she was going to marry a man that she was going to have to share with the rest of the world, not only our country. And she is doing it with such style and such grace. You know, she's being a first lady. She's being a mom. She's being a daughter. You know, she's being a philanthropist. You know, she's, you know, been our advocate about, you know, getting up off the couch and exercising. If only I had her arms. Gosh, if only... You know, yeah, the ambition to be like her, but you know, she is the epitome of, you know, we're talking about a successful woman, and I think she possesses a lot of, if not all of the traits of a successful woman.
I would totally agree. And before we go into that, as it's a perfect segue, I like to tell everyone you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio. I am Juanita, Sister Big Bones Warren. And I have with me tonight our special guest co-host, Sherry Darden. And usually this time of evening you hear the phenomenal host and founder of Mindshift Talk Radio, Stacey Emery. But tonight she is hard at work on some other projects and unable to join us tonight, and has, interestingly enough, trusted me to... do this. I'm working on being on my best behavior. She sent Sherry to keep me in line and in check. So,
she sent me a text also saying I'm watching you, so she's watching me, so I know I'll have to be on my best behavior too, or I'll never get asked back.
But thank you so much, Sherry, for joining us. If you want to call in, or you can call in at 347-989-0206. That's 347-989-0206. And so tonight our topic is characteristics of a successful woman. And we were just talking about Michelle Obama. And Sherry, you said that she possessed some, if not all, of those characteristics. What would you say is one of the first characteristics?
I would say one of the best, one of the first characteristics that I would say that she attributes to having, to being one of the successful women is just being engaging. You know, she has been up since probably 4:30, you know, Eastern Standard Time. And every time you saw her today, and it's not just about the hair, because I knew she probably had people behind the scenes to make sure, you know, her hair was in place and all that good stuff. But she showed such such grace and engaging. You know, she made sure, you know, when they got out and they were walking during the procession, that she smiled and she looked at people and she acknowledged and she showed her appreciation and showed attention. You know, I probably, you know, at this point in time, I would be sitting there yawning and, you know, asking for another Red Bull and all that good stuff. But I just, you know, through all of the speeches and through all of the sermons and through all of the congratulations and all of that good stuff, I just really found her to be really graceful about that and just be totally engaging and showing everybody that she cared and she was interested. They were showing a spot when they were sitting behind the plexiglass watching the parade. And, you know, she made sure that she looked at the crowd and she looked at the people who were participating in the parade and making sure that she waved to them and was engaged and says, you know, hey, I'm present. I appreciate what you're doing. And, you know, that's no small feat, you know, when we've been up for 12 or 15 hours and, you know, we're running, you know, thinking about the next thing that has to be done and that kind of thing. So I really give props to her for being engaging and being plugged in for that long of a day. You know, don't know that I can do it.
That reminds me of years ago, there was this big move behind a Seattle seafood market. And it was the fish philosophy. But one of the philosophies, and it was the Seattle market. It was a market that thrived even in a declining economy at that time. And mm-hmm. so they looked at, you know, why did they thrive? Why were they still able to be successful? And one of the things that they, one of their philosophies is that you were present. You be there, not only be there physically, but be there with all of your being, mentally, emotionally, that you're there. And yeah, I think that's kind of one of my, what I would say top characteristics is you know your role and you play it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And that can be multiple roles, especially as women. You talked about us being mothers and daughters and wife and whatever else, but she was that. She is that. She was the wife. She was the first lady. She was the mother with her children, and just a representative of this nation. So absolutely.
She was a daughter because her mom was behind her.
Yeah.
You know, behind the whole day. And so, yeah, doing those multiple roles and doing them simultaneously with grace is no small feat. Absolutely no small feat.
Absolutely. I think another piece is, and as we talked about a little earlier, you dress for your role. You dress the part. Like you are, if you will, dressed for success. As you watched Mrs. Obama throughout the day, she changed clothes. she had this beautiful suit on, and later on this evening that gorgeous red dress. But she was appropriately dressed for the occasion, and in essence, dressed for success. What do you think?
Yeah, and with that comes confidence. Because one of the things they were asking, there was some interview that she gave, I think either earlier this week or last week, and they were, you know, asking, you know, of course, you know, you're not going to tell us, you know, what dress you're going to wear. And she says, well, no. She said, you know, I've probably got something that I've got in mind, but it's good to have options. And they made mention to the fact that there are going to be two inaugural balls. And they were asking if she was going to change clothes on each one of those. Because, you know, we just like to do that. You know, if you know people who get married, change their clothes two or three times. She's like, no. She says, you know, I'm going to pick something that I want to go with and I'm comfortable with, and that's what I'm going to be in all night. And I think with that comes confidence. She's confident of whatever choice she's going to make, which is another trait of a successful woman, is she's confident. She's like, you know, this is the dress I'm going to have, and if you don't like it, you know, it's, you know, people are like, well, if they don't like this dress, then, you know, I'll be able to change into the next two or three dresses. Somebody will like something. She's like, this is it. She's like, this is it until the lights go out. This is it. So I think one of the things that I love about her, you know, that other successful women have is that confidence, you know, and I think what's interesting is it's not so much is that they're confident in that they're always right, because I think people think it's that, it's kind of like arrogance. She's confident that this is a decision that I've made, and I'm going to live with it. I'm responsible for it. I'm making it, and whatever happens is whatever happens. So they were talking about her bank. She's like, hey, I made this decision. I'm living with it. You know, she said, we're going to make the best of it, you know, because they were already saying, oh, you're just going to hate the grow out stage. It's like, you know what? I've made the decision to have these things, and this is what I'm going to go with. You know, just with confidence and saying, you know, I'm not going to second guess it. I'm not going to question it. I'm going to go with it. I think that's a really, really, really good trait for a successful woman that she's got.
Confidence.
Confidence.
Yeah. And oh, how the old folks used to say, stick-to-itiveness. Like,
yeah.
You know? You know, I'm going to stick to it.
Absolutely.
And that's her, you know, successful women are definitely in it for the long haul. You know, you don't expect it to happen overnight. Even if we are in a microwave society, you realize that things take time and effort and hard work. But you're in it to win it. And I think that's evident in her, and we've heard her talk about, you know, just from the initial race and all the effort and hard work and long days, early mornings and late nights that they had to put in for that, and the sacrifices that they had to make in order for that to just happen.
Takes a lot. You know, one of the things that I heard her say during lots of interviews, which is also, you know, I think is a good aspect of someone being successful, is always focusing on that next step. You know, because when she was talking about the inauguration, she said, you know, that's great, but here's what I'm going to be focusing on. I'm going to be focusing on, you know, after this is done, I'm going to get back in and start talking about healthy eating. You know, once this is done, I'm going to get back in and start working with making sure that veterans, you know, have a place to live. They shouldn't go off and serve our country without having a place to come back and lay their head and have health care. And so she's already thinking about the next step of, you know, most of us want to say, oh, let's just enjoy and be in the moment. But she's like, yeah, okay, but, you know, when the party's done and everybody's had their last piece of cake and their last glass of champagne, we've got to get back to reality, or we've got to get to that next step. So I thought it was also really interesting in her, you know, for her not to allow them to just let her, I guess, in the face of the public, just focus on the party. She's like, okay, but after the party's over with, we still got to get back to business. And so I thought that was really, I'm going to say this, I thought that was really sexy of her. And she was like, yeah, okay, the party's at, but we got real stuff to do. So I thought that was really, really, really deep and very respectful of her.
Absolutely. Oh, Sherry said it was sexy of her. Go ahead.
You know, girlfriend got it going on. She's like, this is just trivial stuff I don't have to worry about. You know, yes, I cut my bangs, but you know what? There's more to me about the bangs. Let's get to business. I was like, you go, girl.
And that's one of the characteristics I've been toying with and trying to figure out how best to phrase this. But successful women are able to clearly articulate their thoughts. Now, it doesn't mean that subjects and verbs agree or that they're speaking the king or queen's English or any of that, but they are able to get their point across and make a statement. And I say that because I think of just women who come from varying educational levels and backgrounds.
Yeah.
And various dialects and accents, if you will, and they may not be using a thesaurus, and you may not need a dictionary when they speak, but they make their point. And some of it, some of them, their words may be what we consider profane or cuss words, but they make their point and they get their point across. So, yeah.
And kind of going back to that confidence thing. So even if they, you know, some of them know, I may not speak the best English. Or my mom used to have a saying, she used to say, I may crack a verb. You know, that kind of, that kind of thing. Oh, we had lots of what my mom's name was Lily. We had lots of Lilyisms, if you will, on that. But even with that being said, you get the point, and they're very confident in getting their point across and being comfortable with it. You know, even though it may not be a popular vote, or it may not necessarily be uncontroversial note, but they are confident with it. So, and I think she's, you know, Michelle Obama has done that. You know, she's made some things. People have been angry with her about, you know, trying to, which just baffles me, trying to get healthier food, you know, in the back into the schools for the children. And,
right.
You know, you can't tell us what to do. Yeah, but I'm trying to keep your child alive. Yes, but you don't. I'm like, okay, I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, but she's educated. She's engaging in it. You know, she's confident, you know, about her stance in it. And this is another trait that I always talk about people that are successful. She's determined. You know, she's determined that just because, you know, you got your haters out there and you got people that may want to divert the true issue there at hand, but she is determined to say, this is what we can do to get some fresh fruits and vegetables in it. It's really simple. Let's go out here and dig up the backyard. So who does she think she is? We haven't done that. Okay, well, it's not just enough for me to, you know, dig up my backyard. She'll go into Harlem. She's gone back into Chicago. So I think her determinism, if that's a word, I'm being confident.
We're confidently making up words. There you go, determinism.
Hey, you know, there are new words added to the dictionary
every day. Yes. If they can put ain't in the dictionary, we can make up words.
Right. That's right. So, you know, I love her being determined to not let those who just want to disagree just for the sake of disagreeing come in with that. So I love that part about her, too.
Awesome. All right. So we're talking about characteristics of a successful woman, and we're talking about those that we see exhibited by our First Lady of the United States first on this special day. All right. So I think another characteristic that she definitely embodies and shows is discipline. You talked about if you had her arms.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline. It's got to be discipline for those arms. And yeah.
Yeah, you know what, they made a comment because, you know, one of the things that, again, being a confident woman and being determined and knowing who she is in her own skin, you know, when she became First Lady, all the debate was is, my God, she's always showing her arms. She's always showing her arms. And, you know, I would even say there were some times like, okay, you know what, it's a little cold outside, Michelle. You put sweater on and that kind of thing. But she was very determined to become fit, and like you were talking about, you know, being disciplined in doing that. And she says she gets up at 5:30 every morning, comes check her high water, and gets up and exercises. And I'm like, I'm there with you in spirit, Michelle. as I continue to be horizontal, but you know, if I want those Michelle Obama arms, I'm going to have to do what you said, and that's, you know, be disciplined.
Discipline.
We
can
wait on that one.
Yeah. But you also, my other piece is, and I was thinking about this, is you said she gets up at 5:30 every morning. I think successful women have and maintain a schedule or calendar or planner or whatever you want to call it. But, yes, y'all have that.
What did you just say?
I say y'all have that.
what's the y'all? Which is why are we saying we have that?
You all. You all.
giving you a chance to retract yourself on that.
That's a work in progress for me. Although I did pull my calendar out, it is sitting right here with me.
Well, you know, it is the first step. And so when you were talking about discipline, and I remember going to church, this was several years ago, and there was a Bible teacher that was coming over to the United States to visit from New Zealand. And he was talking about, again, you know, characteristics of successful people. And he said one of the things that he began to do in order to become more successful was to take one habit a month and create a habit of take one task that he wanted to do, one thing he wished he could do, and he made it a habit. And part of it was, whatever it is that you want to do, stick to it for at least 21 consecutive days, and it will become a habit. And I remember that happening. I think this was probably back in 99, I think it's probably 1999. And one of the things prior to that I was not always faithful with was, and I know this has nothing to do with arms and shell, but talking about my discipline was, sometimes I would go to bed with dirty dishes. You know, I'd scrape them and rinse them and stack them and go, okay, I'll do that later. And I said, you know what? I like getting up in the morning, not having any reminder in my kitchen of what I had for dinner the last night while I'm making my coffee. And so I began to do that for 21 days. And now to this day, I cannot go to bed without washing dishes. I will try to stack, and something happens, and I will end up getting up. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I will be in there washing those dishes. So I know that this is something that she had to do, probably on a larger scale of just washing dishes, of just getting up, no matter how late she goes to bed, getting up, you know, getting up and working those arms out. So I just have to tell myself I can do it. 21 days.
21 days.
It's Michelle Obama arms.
21 days to Michelle Obama arms. I hear that.
Yes.
Now, if I could say 21 days to Michelle Obama abs,
yes.
Like 21 years for me. But, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. For those of you just now tuning in, you are listening to Mindshift Talk Radio. I am the co-host, Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren, joined by our special guest co-host tonight, Sherry Darden, sitting in for the host and founder, Stacey Emery. And we are talking about characteristics of successful women. Sherry, you were saying that it takes 21 days to start a new habit.
Mm-hmm.
And to form a habit. However, it takes 6 weeks to break one.
I know, because my mom used to always say to me, she said, you know, she said, form good habits, because bad ones are hard to break. And you're absolutely right. It takes longer to break a habit. So you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. But, you know, this is the beginning of 2013, so it's not too late to set New Year goals and set New Year habits. So, who knows? By June, I may look like Michelle Obama at the arms.
Had we started the first of the year, we'd be at day 21 now, already
yes,
at the 3-week mark.
Yes, we would have. But you know what? That I'm so glad you said that, because I think that is another characteristic of a successful woman. And that's not to give up. So you fall down. So you didn't start January 1. You know, that's what most of us kind of had that attitude of, okay, you know what, it's February's here already. I didn't do it, so, you know, I'll just wait until next year. It's like, you know, you fall down, you get back up. And I think it's part of that whole, what we were talking about, determination of, I am going to make this happen. You know, we have that book we were supposed to write, and we kind of fell off the wagon on that. We got that business we're supposed to start. And I think one of the things that we do is, you know, it's that determination. We have to kind of think, you know, if it's that important to us, you know, and I'm speaking to myself right now. If it's that important to us, we will pick up that pen again and finish that book, you know, if you will, or start that business and that kind of thing. So I think we covered some really good characteristics of successful women. And I know that, you know, for the two of us that are talking here today and anybody else that's listening, I don't think any of us possess all of them you know, sometimes we kind of get overwhelmed of looking at Michelle Obama and say we could never be her. Well, she's not perfect, and neither is anybody else. So, you know, I think the first thing we should do is view ourselves as successful women in our own right. And maybe we only have two of the six or seven that we've talked about, but we should take those and own them and be proud of them and make sure that we call ourselves successful in our own right.
I think that's a good point. as I talked about y'all and y'all's calendars, seeing ourselves successful and I'm gonna get there. Yeah.
I think one of the things too is like we're resourceful. You know, you and I were talking earlier today, and you know, you were going out looking for, you know, for something specific, you know, before the show started. And when I asked you, did you find what you were looking for? You said, no, but I got this and this will work with this. We're resourceful. And I think that's a pretty innate trait of all women is to be resourceful. I think it's in us. And I think sometimes the way that we've had to grow up and sometimes the way society looks at us and sometimes limits us as to what we can do and what we have access to, that we have to get resourceful.
Yeah. Resourceful. You know? Some people call it cheap or frugal or thrifty.
I wouldn't even call it cheap or frugal or thrifty. Listen, I had, when I first bought my house, and I had company coming, and I could not, and it was late at night, I had already worked during the day, and I had to put up this bookcase, and I could not find a screwdriver.
Yeah, what you use? Did you use a butter knife?
See, now how would you know that unless you're a resourceful person also? And that was back in, I have been in my house 17 years. That bookshelf is still standing.
I'm telling you, you can do many things. All you need is a butter knife and some duct tape.
You know, I don't know if you remember way back when there was an old show. And I can't remember the name of the guy who
Rock.
Started it.
Rock.
It's called MacGyver.
MacGyver, yes.
Well, he could take a, you know, piece of gum and a little tin foil and do that. He could, you know, hot rod a car, you know, hot wire a car and all that kind of stuff. You know, that's, he got those tricks from women. I'm sure he went and did some kind of survey and said, women, what did you do when you couldn't? And what did you do when you didn't have? And that, because that's something that we can all have an assuredness that we have at least one trait of a successful woman, and that's being resourceful.
Yes. Yes. Yes, there's other words for that, but other phrases.
What would you call it if you didn't have a screwdriver? And it's 10 o'clock at night, Home Depot's closed, you gotta get it out. I think that's resourceful.
Is the politically correct term that anyone can say, but I'm telling you there are others. The only other thing I can come with that's close to it is urban engineering.
Are you trying to say I rigged it or something?
Yeah, hell, see? You,
I
you
just said rigged.
It. I didn't. Yes, that's your phrase, not mine.
You're about to talk.
good for you though. Good. 13 years later, you still using a butter knife.
It's not using a butter knife, but I'm still using a bookcase.
That's all right.
Butter knife is gone probably somewhere, but the bookcase is still up and standing on that. So other than rigging, what would you also say would be a trait of a successful woman?
A sense of humor. So, successful women can laugh, especially at themselves.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes you got to laugh to keep from crying, but
You know, I do laugh at myself because, you know, sometimes you were talking about that even when we don't speak politically correct or our verbs aren't conjugating and hanging participles and all of that good stuff. And, you know, I'm a fast talker, and sometimes I'll stand in front of my workshops and my mouth doesn't quite keep up with my brain, and sometimes it'll come out, and you know, and the participants are too kind to say anything. I just turn around and start laughing at myself, going, okay, I did go to school. I do know English.
Right.
Please don't mail me hooked on phonics or something of that nature. You know,
that's
so.
Not a real word, right? Or you're never supposed to end a sentence with a preposition. And
Oh, yeah. You know, and sometimes I'll even try and lighten up the mood and say something on wrong purposely. You know, I am kidding now. You know, they'll look at me and go, oh, my God, you know, this woman's talking to me about law, and she just said that. She's like, remind me not to hire her. You know? Stand up in front of a judge. But you're right, a sense of humor is something that I think it's anybody needs. I think it's not only a successful trait. I think it's a survival skill.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
You know, and I think that just humor goes along with a positive attitude. What do you think?
I'd agree. A positive attitude is a must. Ooh, I know there are some women we can look at and wonder if they've ever had a positive attitude, because they just exude pessimism and cynicism, if that's a word. But they just seem like Debbie Downers. But I guarantee you that they had to believe they could be successful in order to be successful. So at some point along the way, they thought positively and had a positive attitude.
Oh, gosh. But, you have to have, in order to be, cause, you know, in order to be successful, you've got to have a network, and you've got to have a team, you know. And if you're negative Betty all the time,
yeah.
No one wants to be around you, you know. No one wants to be around you. I will tell you that I had a client send me a letter that she didn't think that the relationship was going to work anymore, and part of that was because when she was positive, I didn't mind calling her on a regular basis. I mean, she got to the point where she thought she could call me at any point in time, no matter where I was in the country, and it just got to the point where I knew if I was going to talk to her, it was going to be a negative thing. Nothing was going to go right. Everything was negative. And I just said, you know what? Even though she's paying me, this isn't something I want to associate myself with. You know, so, you know, I think just a strong, positive network also, too, is a key to being successful. Because we can't do it all ourselves, even though we try to.
Well, and I agree. But you bring up a good point in the story that you share, and I think that successful women know how to say no and know when to say it.
Mm, absolutely. Very good point.
So
very
we totally
point.
Understand the power of no. And so for those of you listening tonight that needs some assistance in this area, say it with me. No.
No.
You
know, I always say that this is one of the few words that has the same meaning in so many languages.
Yes, it does.
You know, so no matter where you are, pretty much you know what no means. You know, when I went to Italy, I never felt like such an American in my life. I didn't have time to study because, I mean, I traveled working right up to the point of leaving for Italy for Christmas. But I kind of fell on the falseness of morals that I'm an American, so everybody's going to go out of their way to speak my language, and it didn't work.
Right. Yeah, I had that experience my first time in Germany. I think I was in Heidelberg.
Ooh.
And I do consulting on military family programs, and
yeah.
I'm used to staying on post on a military installation. And this time, I, for whatever reason, I had to stay out on the economy in a German hotel on a German, I don't even think the bed was as big as a twin bed. Like, to call it a twin would be an overstatement. But
wow.
And all it had was the bed and a duvet. I learned what a duvet was. Like, no sheets or anything like that. It was just like a comforter on top of the bed.
Wow.
So I was so depressed because all I could watch on TV was a British version of CNN that I could understand.
Yeah.
And MTV. That's it. That was it. However, it was in watching that I totally understood how Americans and Black Americans especially could be misperceived across the world. Because if all you see of Americans and Black America is what you see on MTV,
there's
a problem.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, of all places to go and not know the language, we had most of our layovers were in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Now, going, we only had a two-hour layover. So basically all we had time to do was get off one plane and find our gate to the next, you know, and go through their little customs. We had a five-hour layover coming back. And my sister's children know a little German because they went to a Lutheran school. And so they had to learn some German. But at least in Italian, there's a lot of words that are similar to Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But to go to Germany and not know anything, I was like, Lord, no.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would even say, you know, even just kind of thinking that, I feel that to say that next time I go somewhere where English is not the primary language to speak, is be prepared. And I think that's something to be successful, you know, another characteristic, is I am going to be prepared next time. You know, if I don't know at least conversational language, I'm going to make sure that I have books, you know, translation books with me, or put some type of translation software on my iPhone.
Yeah.
I will be prepared next time. We'll
Six
be prepared next time.
Full women are prepared, which is a good tie-in into what I think the next one is. But before I go there, I just want to again remind and thank everyone for tuning in to Mind Shift Talk Radio tonight as we're talking about characteristics of successful women. In the same token, Sherry, is being prepared. successful women maximize their time. And and why I say that is I have a six-hour commute between Atlanta and Fort Bragg, which is where I work. And so I do that every week. At the beginning of the week, it's 6 hours up. At the end of the week, it's 6 hours down.
Did not know that, girl.
But in my car, I have a CD player. And, you know, I spend time, parts of the commute talking to God or fussing at God or crying to God, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A range of that. But also I have a Spanish CD that I can pop in and I'm learning Spanish and practicing it. So just we maximize time. And we can do what they say. If you want to get something done, give it to a busy person.
Very true.
We are getting things done, but definitely maximizing our time.
You know, and I would even take even further than that on the maximizing and say multitasking.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing is you're getting from point A to point B. You're traveling while you're also learning Spanish, while you're also having your conversation with God, or, you know, even following up and being able to, you know, sometimes I take my drives when I'm driving from one city to another. And take that time to catch up with people.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let me go ahead and call this person and get it back. So absolutely, we do know how to maximize. We know how to maximize our time. We know how to maximize our dollars. We know how to maximize our resources. So, you know, again, I would like to call us a Swiss Army knife.
Hmm.
You know, we know how to separate something when we need to with the knife.
Right,
you know,
right.
We know how to, you know, pull something together with the screwdriver.
You wish you'd have had one of those instead of that butter knife.
Yeah, it would have made life a lot easier. It would have made my knuckles a lot less bloody, but I got it done.
You can cut things up with the scissors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, but
Army knife.
But again, I got it done. I was determined that I was going to do it, and I got resourceful, and I was ambitious, and I was confident that I'd get the job done. So I'm thinking, in that instance there, I was a really successful woman.
Awesome. Well, we've you know, I think the list could go on and on.
And on, absolutely.
And many of the ones we shared are highlighted in a book that I'm reading. I'm a fan of Valerie Good. Burton, and she's a certified personal and executive coach here in the Atlanta area.
Yeah, she used to be here in Dallas. She used to go to our church.
Okay. But one of her books is Successful Women Think Differently. It talks about 9 habits to make you happier, healthier, and more resilient. And several of the ones we talked about are in here. Here it is. It says, believe you can do it. Get off the hedonic treadmill. Stop trying to fix your weaknesses. Build your muscle of self-control. Cultivate positive emotion. Be prepared for battle. Don't be a maximizer. Don't go it alone. And write it down.
She said, don't be a maximizer?
Well, it says how overabundance can rob you of satisfaction and make you ineffective.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like everything in moderation.
Right. Or how we're so busy being everything to everybody, we have no time to be anything to ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on your toes. But them some nice shoes you got on, girl.
I don't know nothing about that outro. No. Did I put you on your net? Was that a good switch?
That was right there.
Thank you.
But,
thank you. I appreciate that.
I want to ask you, what would you say, I guess if there were three things, the top three things that have been integral to your success? Crickets?
Wow. Well, that's tough because, you know, we are our own worst critics. And so I'm probably thinking some of the things that I would identify as a weakness, someone on the other side of the table would probably say a strength. I would say, and not necessarily in this order, resourceful. Resourceful in that I was able to, now a lot of what I do for small businesses and for clients are needs, like, you know, like taxes and that kind of thing. But what I was resourceful in that I was able to show people why they needed what I had to offer. So I would say being resourceful would probably be that. I think one of the things I said, and I don't know if Valerie has it in hers or the terminology that she used is, engaging, you know, no one wants to work with, buy from, have a relationship with someone who is not engaging, you know, and especially if we're talking about you asking someone to exchange dollars for services or dollars for products, if they don't know you or if they don't trust you. So I think my gift for gab, and my, lack of, let me just speak English to you. I don't have a problem talking with anybody.
Okay.
You know, it used to just baffle a guy a day that he said, you just talk to anybody. You know, I'll come off a plane, you know, to go see him, and I'm just laughing and joking. He's like, do you know that person? He's like, no, don't even know their name. You know, and we've just talked 2.5 hours, if that. I would also too say, and this is one of the traits I think is a great, successful woman that we didn't talk about, and that's a person who's a teacher. I think one of the things that's made me successful is my desire and my ability to teach. And it's not necessarily on, you know, talking about a teacher like shake your finger, don't do this, don't do that. It's just sharing knowledge. It's just sharing knowledge, you know. Even when people don't expect it or don't even think they want it, you know, I like to give it to them in a way that they can digest it, you know. So, you know, if I need to wrap it around a piece of bacon, I can do that. You know, if you're a vegetarian, I'll shove it in, you know, a piece of melon or, you know, whatever your palate, whatever your palate is. So I would say teacher, resourceful. And I would say engaging. I would say those three things.
Awesome.
That's say those three things, I think.
All right.
Is that showing my confidence when I say I think. or at least today it is. At least today. Well, listen, I know we got a few minutes. Let me turn, at least flip the script on you.
Oh,
what
wait, time
say?
To go. Gotta go. Whoop,
no,
show's over.
No, we still got five. We still got 5 minutes. Say hey.
Stacy can't hear you. You can holler all you want.
Okay, well, give me two. I'll be fair. Give me two. What would you think two of your most dominant, successful characteristics are?
I am not afraid to say I don't know. I will quickly say, well, I don't know. And usually, like, when I'm presenting in front of a group, I'll say it just like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right, absolutely.
Laugh. But I am not afraid to say I don't know, but I'll get back to you on that. And I'm not embarrassed, if you will, by my lack of knowledge or not knowing something. So I would think that's one. Two, I would say that I seek to learn from my failures or near successes. Like, you
okay.
know, I'm like, oh, you know, how did I miss the mark there? Or you know, what happened? Or what worked? What didn't work? What could I've done differently? What should I have done differently?
Wow. Yeah.
And I think I can even do the third would be, I'm a servant. That's just me. I'm looking to help. I am. It's not the with them. There's not a what's in it for me. What's in it for me is I've helped you,
okay.
And kind of like Bob talked about, you know, I'm just a giver, but in giving, I gain so much more.
And
because of that, you know, because I am, it's never about my ulterior motive of trying to get something from somebody. I can refer people to someone, and all they have to do is say, you know, Juanita told me or Sis told me. And people know me by either one of those names, Juanita or Sis. And folks would do it just kind of off the strength of my name because they know it's not about, you know, trying to get a hustle or anything like that.
Right, right, yeah. Right. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Oh.
Well, I think you and I did something really good today. We practice on being able to say what makes us a success. Because I think we as women like to apologize for, oh, it's no big thing and that kind of thing. Yes, it is. You know, we are where we are through some bumps and bruises and accomplishments. So hats off to both of us for being confident enough to be able to vocalize what makes us successful.
Yeah.
So yay for us.
Yeah. But thank you so much, Sherry, for I have enjoyed this time with you. Thank you for just chatting it up with me tonight and it's really great to just be amongst your circle as you are a successful woman and just having you there and around.
Yeah, you and Stacey are truly a blessing. You know, it's one I can say it's one of the best things about Facebook is it's really put me in touch with some really great people that, you know, I probably would have never met otherwise. So
yeah.
It's a blessing to know you, Sis.
And the pleasure is all mine and the blessing, I guess, too. But with that, we can wrap up tonight's show. Again, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you're just tuning in, be sure to catch the playback We'll look forward to next week where we will have Sherry again as our special guest and just sharing more next week on just entrepreneurship and all that great stuff. So definitely tune in next week. Check out the replays. Everyone have a good night. Be blessed. Sherry, anything?
Nope, just happy Mind Shift Monday to you.
All right, y'all have a great week. God bless you. Good night.
Yes, good night.
Mind Shift Radio.